This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and so glad you guys are with me today. Hope everyone's having a blessed, wonderful, amazing day as well. And thank you, as always, for joining the podcast. I'm so glad and honored to be a part of your lives, as you're a part of my life. And so today, I want to just sort of get into it, dive into it. And that is, I want to be able to sort of talk today about stress. And I want to talk to today about, you know, day-to-day stress, how to begin to work through stress, you know, every day. Because a lot of times, let's just face it, especially those in the Western world, we are flooded with everything that hits us. I mean, we're flooded with, you know, the wife, the husband, the kids, the school, the showing up for the, you know, the cheerleading practice, the taking the sons to the football games, you know, taking my kids to the ballet, taking, you know, my wife out to dinner, taking my husband out, you know, to football game, whatever the case may be. It's like we're always trying to find, you know, the time in our lives to juggle everything in our lives. And so let's just face reality, folks. I mean, I wonder why we have so many, you know, therapy groups and counselors and now retreat centers popping up all across the country. You know, it's like, hey, we got a Christian retreat. If you want to go, you know, and pray and walk this, you know, road, you know, and prayerfully doing it, you can do it. You can go to a retreat center over here and do meditation or yoga. I mean, you know, it's like every culture now and every religion has all these retreat centers and all these different things, because stress is just hitting every single one of us in life. And then you have people who are getting chronic diseases on medications. And I think if you think about it, like, I don't know of one person who's really not taking a medication, you know? I mean, that's really sad, you know? It's really sad. But yet we're all just flooded with something. You might say, well, I don't take medications, but I'm sure you take some Advil every once in a while because of the splitting headache, you know, life can bring with you, or, you know, or something. Or something for heartburn. I mean, you know, you think about, we're all taking something, unfortunately, for things of life. And so I want to be able to bring something out to you guys today that might help you a little bit. I'm not going to go too deep with you today, but just enough to maybe skim the surface to make you sort of think, maybe have an eye-opening experience about how to be able to handle today, what to be able to do for today. And here's one thing that God put in my heart earlier is, I was thinking about the scripture that says, line upon line, precept upon precept. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Now, I want you to think about something just for a moment, okay? Here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about exactly what does that look like, okay? And let me explain to you what I mean by that. Is I feel like that when you think about line upon line, that means there is something that deals with one thing at a time. Like, let me finish this line, get into another line, now I need to finish this one. And if you notice, it doesn't say, you know, all the lines come together. It doesn't say, you know, that, you know, put it all in a box and just work it all together. It says line upon line. In other words, you create, when you finish and master one line, then you create another one on top of that. Then you master another line. If you think about the scriptures that deals with, you know, running the race, fighting the good fight of faith, you know, sort of crossing that finish line per se. Finish line is not one time, not a one-time wonder. It's not a one-time lifetime thing. It's not even a one-time seasonal thing. Crossing the finish line of reaching towards the mark of the high call, represents the fact of every single moment of every single day. I have I can choose today through a situation. Let's say, for example, if two of my friends are arguing and they call me for, you know, to find out maybe, hey, whose side am I on, or maybe, you know, which one's right or wrong, or maybe just help us through the situation, or maybe they don't even contact me at all. Maybe I find myself not trying to step my foot in the middle, you know, but yet trying to get enough in there to sort of wedge my way in enough to talk and just see exactly how maybe we can learn to collaborate together, guys, and work this thing out. And so, you got to do that very, very carefully. Let me just say this to you. If not, you do tend to get sucked into the middle. But when you think about these situations, you think about, if I can bring a little bit of agreement to two parties, if I can be able to bring, you know, two people to hold hands again and say, hey, let's work together as a team, or instead of seeing each other and one's right, one's wrong, what if you're both right, just seeing it from different points of view, whatever the case may be, in coaching? Because, well, let's just face it, we all coach every day. You might not be a licensed counselor like me or a certified life coach like me, but hey, it doesn't matter. We all have the wonderful counselor of Christ in us, knowing that every single day of our lives, we're always working through things, like working out situations and how can I take my kids here when I need to get, you know, to work by 8 o'clock, or I got to take, you know, her, you know, to the cheerleading practice, or him to, you know, to dancing, or, you know, her to play basketball, whatever the case may be. We're always juggling things, and so we're always bringing strategy. And strategy sometimes of life is really good, but it does tend to pull our energy out a whole lot, does it not? It tends to wear us out because our mind is like overload. So when you think about crossing the finish line, you think of the fact that if I can bring a strategy to say, okay, here's what's going to happen. You know, my husband, my wife is going to carry, you know, her or him to this. I'm going to carry her and him and my other kid to this. I'm going to work it out to where I can, you know, ride with my friend to work. I mean, whatever the case may be, well, guess what? You just cross the finish line because you use the mind of Christ. You just cross the finish line of a particular situation or of that day, because when the Bible tells us to pray, it doesn't even pray a lot of even strategy. If he just says, give us this day our daily bread, you know, it lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. You think of the fact, not even so much strategy, but you think of the fact of, if you know, every day I've got to trust God to give me my daily loaf of bread, my daily bread, which means I've got what it takes to handle today with no problem. That's a key thing. Most people pray, oh God, if I can just deal with today, I need strength, God. And that's understandable. We've all prayed that before. I mean, we've all prayed it maybe madly in the sense of, or passionately, or like maybe aggressively, help me God right now, you know, or either you're like gracefully, you know, but either way, we've all prayed that, right? But we have to begin to realize that God is letting us know, I've given you your daily bread. Give us this daily bread. I have given you what it takes. My favorite scripture, I always say, you know, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not only has he given me all things pertaining to this life, but I also have the daily bread, which means in your reality now, in the now moment you live, not only do you have what it takes to handle this life, but I've even given you what it takes to handle right now in this moment. So I got a double portion, whatever you want to call it. I'm getting a double portion for today, right? And so that's where you got to begin to look at life. And plus, let me also say this, strategy is a good thing. Getting birthing for strategy in situations are a good thing. However, you got to be careful, because strategy sometimes can also bring a negative to it, because then you got to think to yourself that I have to overthink to be able to work this thing through, work this thing out, make it work. And so sometimes even saying, I got to bring a strategy, can also be sometimes a heavy load upon you. So you have to begin to remember, do I want the feeling every day of a heavy load, or do I want the feeling that Jesus told me to have? So you got to think about this. Jesus never mentioned strategy. I mean, is it good to have strategies? Sure it is. But Jesus never mentioned strategies. You know, there's a book that's out, and I've seen this in a meme, but it's like, things that Jesus did not say. And that's where I am in my theology, is if Jesus didn't say it, you know what, I'm not going to pay attention to it, and given, you know, no matter how Old Testament thinking it is, I'm just not going to go there, because everything in the Old Testament is heavy weight, strategy, having to do this, having to, you know, fight this, having to fight that. All that's heavy loads that Jesus said, I'm taking it upon me to the cross. Why are you disrespecting me and taking it upon you? If the battle's not yours, the battle's mine, why are you taking on things that you shouldn't be taking on and making your life so much harder? But prophetic movement, prophetic people love the drama. They love to be able to interact with all that warfare and strategy and yielding that sword and fighting and tearing down and cutting up. And you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, that's awesome, but I'd rather live in Jesus. And living in Jesus means he's taken all upon the cross on himself. He bore my sickness, he bore my pain, he bore my infirmities. And so that's where you look in Isaiah to recognize that. So through that is where God says to you, you know, that, you know what, you can either carry more burden upon you and more of a load, or you can allow me to take your load, because my burden is light. Hello? My burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So I choose to be on this side of the cross of saying, hey, you guys can have all of that and stress yourself out and give yourself some heart issues and pain and you know, everything else, you know, and I'll stay over here and let Jesus handle it all. And my job is to worship and to praise him and to exalt him and begin to bring in the power of the mind of Christ. That's the side I choose, you know. I don't choose to be an Old Testament prophet, you know. A lot of drama to it, a lot of me engaging. Well, why would I want to engage a lot when upon his back he bore my sickness and my sins and my heartaches and my pains, my infirmities? Why would I want to take that up? Amen. I'll let him handle that, praise God. And he did. So that's where we have to begin to look and say, do I really need to build a strategy in this particular situation? Sometimes you do need a strategy. Absolutely you do. But you have to remember, you don't need it in every situation, every moment of every day, because you're not a warrior fighting every day. You're fighting the good fight of your faith. Let me stress this again. You're fighting the good fight of your faith. It's your faith. Your faith has made you whole. So what am I fighting? I'm fighting to strengthen my faith. That's a positive thing, because I strengthen my faith by reading the Word of God, by building myself up in my most holy faith, and just basically just meditating upon what I know God's called me to do in His will, which I can say, that's relaxing. Meditating upon the good things God's called me to, hope in a bright future. I'm happy with that. So, you know, why worry? Why worry? Right? And so that's where we have to stand sometimes. And then once again, you know, 9 times out of 10, I don't have to bring strategy. I can rely on Him and the Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth and lead me into the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And so that's where I stand in my life. And so let these things absorb within you to know how to handle things, you know, from day to day. Now then, let's get back to the scripture about line upon line, precept upon precept. Line upon line means that finishing that race of that situation. You've got the daily bread to handle it, right? So don't stress, don't get all drama. You got the daily bread to handle it. All you have to do is take a deep breath, trust God by faith, and say, I've got this. And it's funny how the world will come up with those phrases. You know, you've got this. And we think, oh no, Jesus has this. Hallelujah, Jesus has this. We're always wanting to counteract any good principle. I've never understood that in my life. It's almost like any good principle we counteract, we have to just shut it down. And we wonder why the world hates us so bad. You know, it's almost like, you can't say that. You know, because you said it, I can't receive it. But if I was to say it as a Christian, it would be accepted. Well, that's just hogwash. That's ridiculous. I mean, come on, folks. A principle is a principle. So when you think about building and knowing that you have the faith and you're strengthening your faith today and you've got what it takes to finish the situation, then guess what? You do have this. You've got this. You've got it because God says, I've given you life. I died to give you life and, you know, life more abundantly. You know, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, you know, once again, you have to tell this to the religious people, very overly religious people. You know, oh, but all glory goes to God. You're exactly right. It all goes to God. But I don't have to claim that every 5 seconds because I know my heart. And my heart knows everything I do is unto Him. So guess what? I do have this. I've got it because He's given it to me. He didn't say He's going to do it for me. He says, I've given it to you. So I've got the life in me. I don't have the strategy in me. I've got the life in me. And of course, life will hold strategies. Don't get me wrong. But what he's saying here is, you've got this because there's nothing that's going to happen today that you don't have really the submission or the control or the authority or really just the wisdom. You know, when people are like, I take authority over this day. Well, that's powerful, and I agree, but one thing I'd rather do, in a sense, I'd rather take up the wisdom of God that's crying out. I want the wisdom to know how to be able to strengthen a situation, not just push it away and bind it. I want something to be able to, the wisdom of God to be able to incorporate within people's lives that will change their lives, not cast them out quickly, right? And so, or situations, you know, I'm not going to deal with this in Jesus' name, you know, He's not the author of confusion, and you're sitting there going, okay, first of all, the situation is not bringing you confusion. You're bringing confusion upon yourself, right? It didn't, you know, in fact, it's funny because he says God is not the author of confusion, right? You know, and then it says, you know, how God is, and then deals with the spirit of fear. So you think about God saying, I'm not the author of confusion, right? He didn't say confusion with Satan's. It's, he says, I'm not the author of that. So if he's not the author of it, that means he's not bringing me confusion. Maybe I'm bringing confusion upon myself because I'm not learning to take a deep breath, look at the situations, see what I can handle first today, see what's more important to me, right? I mean, once again, we're so quick to blame Satan, and you're thinking, you know, confusion, folks, doesn't always come from Satan, the pits of hell. Comes most of the time, 90% of the time, comes from you because you're not understanding how to handle your day. And take a deep breath and look at the situations and bring sometimes strategy, or at least bring grace to it, and says, well, let's just face reality. What is it today that I need to really do that's more important today? I can tell you from Jeremy's point of view, when I tend to overload myself, and I'm like, I got to get this done and this done and this done. And sometimes my family will say, you really don't have to do that today. Like, you can actually do that tomorrow. Focus on things that are important, you know? And so I have to take a dose of my own medication. But I don't sit here and say, I'm not childish enough to say, oh, I'm confused, I'm overwhelmed, that's of the devil. No, I'm smart enough to say, no, you're actually doing that to yourself. So let's be mature, Jeremy. You're doing this to yourself. And so because you're doing it to yourself, you need to sort of chill and take and swallow this learning curve, swallow this peel of learning, and begin to really, and you discipline yourself to really realize, you know what, you're right. They're right. I don't have to do this on this today, right? I don't have to do all this today. I can lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways, in this situation, I can acknowledge Him. And because He will guide my path, He will direct me, and He's given me the life and the wisdom and the strategies and the principles and the grace that I need to handle any situation, any and all situations, so I don't have to fret, right? And that's really where, you know, you've got to learn to be. What's important today, right? Because let me just explain this to you. I can promise you I've dealt with so many people throughout the years in coaching that they stay high-strung. They live on a stressful lifestyle, and because they do, and then when they get stressed, they find themselves engaging with more energy into, you know, binding and loosing and coming against, you know, this, and this is a spirit of confusion. And God's sitting there going, okay, I never said it was the spirit, nor did I say it was from the devil. I just said I'm not the author of that, right? I mean, you know, mind of Christ would teach otherwise, but hey, you know, and then you think of, you know, other scriptures where He does say, you know, God doesn't give me a spirit of fear. Well, there we know fear is a spirit. So we get that part, right? And so we have to understand the whole principle of what God is saying. And when we deal with line upon line, we're dealing with deal with one thing at a time, take a deep breath and say, what's next? Right? If you can't, you know, master the, you know, doing things at one time, all five things, juggling it all at one time, no worries, no sweat. Just line upon line. What can I master first today and accomplish? Run that race. Hey, I'm finished with this. That's great. That'll make you feel better. Now, what's the second thing on the list I can build upon that other thing that I've completed and finished that I can work on today that actually will help me? Because guess what? You know, most people are like, devil's bringing me stress. No, honey. I was about to say, you need to grow up a little bit, mature. Let's mature in the God's kingdom. He's not bringing you stress. Maybe you're probably causing stress upon yourself because you're not knowing how to discipline the mind enough to not be overwhelmed and say, what do I need to take care of first today, Father? Tell me what I need to take care of today. That's a key thing that God is wanting you to really be able to move into, is you disciplining yourself and you not making yourself overwhelmed because you already have what it takes. And the reason why I can say that with boldness is because God's already told me and told you that when you pray, Lord, give me my daily bread. You've already died to give me life, and you've given me life, and you've already said, you know, that I've already given you all things that pertain to this life, which means every day and my daily bread. So why am I worried about this? If I truly trusted God to believe that scripture, then I wouldn't allow myself to be confused, disoriented, you know, or stressed out, full of anxiety, you know, when I can be responsible enough to say, hey, I admit it, I'm doing this to myself. It's not some Satan. I'm doing this to myself because of the fact that I don't know how to discipline my mind. And he's right. I just need to learn to trust God to say, God, you've already given me what it takes. I've got this. I just need to tell my body and my mind that I've got this and teach my mind how to submit. And submitting means focus, awaken, being alert. What is number one I gotta worry about today, or be concerned about, I should say, or what do I have to accomplish today? What is the first thing? Because I can promise you, if you go through your day to day, when you wake up and you think of everything you need to do, in those needs you need to do, you'll also incorporate your wants. And then you'll get stressful, and then you're like, oh my God, the devil's on my case. And God's like, no, when you woke up, you incorporated your wants in with your needs. And so, no, that's on you. That's all on you. So, because you didn't strategize in the sense of building a blueprint that morning, waking up, and not even once again strategizing all the time. Just waking up and saying, hey, you know what? Without a vision, the people perish. God is requiring me to get a vision of today. So let me think about today what I need to do. Okay, let's sit on one side. Let's think of what really needs to be accomplished today. Because picking up the kids at school, that's going to be pretty much a need. You know, you can't say, I'm going to put that in tomorrow, you know, leave the kids here 24 hours. You know, so you know that's a need. Okay, well, let's see, I got to clean the house. Well, how many other things on my list I got to do today? Do I really need to clean the house today? Is my house going to fall apart if I don't clean it today? Or can I actually clean it tomorrow because I will have a little bit more free time? Or, you know, unless I find at the end of the day, I actually do have some free time, right? Once I got everything out of what I need to take care of, out of the way. And so you've got to learn to prioritize, folks. You know, you really have to learn to do that. Now, when you think of line upon line, precept upon precept, the word precept is this. It's in this definition, it says a general rule intended to regulate behavior or thought. Notice how I put a emphasis on thought and behavior. Precept means a general rule intended. So your rule is, this is what you want to be done. My intention is to do this today, but I've got to learn to regulate my behavior and my thought. My intent today of things I want to do can be accomplished because it's precept on precept. But what God is saying to me is with every single thing I've got to do, I've got to focus on the fact of regulating, put another way, discipline my behavior and my thought. Okay? I don't see the word Satan in this word here. What I see here is precept. Line upon line, precept on precept, which means I've got a rule that I want to be able to establish today. But what I've got to do is I've got to discipline my behavior. Okay, my intention is to do this rule, but I got to discipline my behavior and my thought process to where I can get the job done, make this accomplishment, and then do another one that I'm putting on top of that from what? My rule, which is my need of what I need to get done today. But in order to do that, I got to discipline my behavior and my thought. And I say this because I want you guys to understand we are so quick with throwing scriptures around, but we really don't know some of these words and what they mean. So line upon line, finishing, running the race in each little thing, and then precept on precept, which is what? The general rule of thumb of what I need to do today. But I've got to discipline. I got to regulate the definition as regulate, which I like the word regulate. I got to regulate. I love this. I got to regulate my behavior. Regulate my behavior and my thought. Okay? So I want you to think about that word, regulate, just for a moment before we close. Regulate my behavior and thought. Regulate. So what does regulate mean? Regulate means to govern or direct according to rule. Another definition? To bring under the control of law, right, or authority. I love this. To bring it under control. To govern by the rule you're talking about. To bring it under control by the rule you bring forth. That's so what is this saying to me? It's letting me know, Jeremy, regulate. Regulate. Pull into control your behavior and your thought. And you will get the job done. Right? So when I step out of scripture, here's what happens. Oh my God, I got so much to do today. I didn't think about it this morning. I didn't create a vision this morning, but that's no big deal. We'll just sort of write that off as if I just don't think about it. And I'm just going to, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. I got to do this today. I got to do this today. Satan, you know, Jesus is not the author of confusion. Satan, quit confusing me in Jesus' name. I bind you in Jesus' name. I cast you out of here. And notice my energy level is just probably getting more negative, but it's also building up stronger and putting more anxiety upon me, right? So I'm going to continue. Oh my God. And then I bind this and bind, and then, oh my gosh, okay, let's see here. Okay, God, help me, Jesus. Give me the mind of Christ. Give me the mind of Christ. Oh God, what can I handle today? Do I have what it takes to get the job done today? And the whole time, guess what? I just casted down 6 or 7 scriptures that God says, if you obey these scriptures, you won't have to go through your drama. You don't have to bring, you know, you don't have to bring your drama queen out of you. You don't have to do that. You can just obey scripture and life will be a little better for you by regulating, which means controlling your behavior and taking every thought into captivity. There's another scripture. And regulating that thought under the rule of the need of what you've got to do and to accomplish that day. Huh. Got that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why? Because you know what, God? Whatever comes my way today, I already have the power, and I already have the resurrection spirit of God in me and my daily bread to do whatever it needs to be done today. So you've already known that. So I'm pretty cool, God. So when it approaches me today, I'm going to look at the situation, take a deep breath, and say, okay, let me figure this out. Let's see here. I need to use wisdom, because wisdom is the one that's crying out that really needs to be implemented in any and all situations. So let me do that. And all of a sudden, bam, at the end of the day, guess what? Your needs were done. You didn't have anxiety. You don't have chronic, sickness all running throughout your body now. You don't have anxiety releasing toxic poisons in your body and stress. What you have now is the peace and grace of God going through, flooding in your DNA, and you've got things accomplished, right? And then you can prioritize your wants in days in which you have not so many needs to be able to do. That's how you do it, folks. I mean, is life easy? Not really, but it can be a lot easier for us if we think about it. And the scriptures laid it out beautifully. And even when you think of manifestation, even from a law of attraction point of view, manifestation, you're still remembering that the more that I come against this, I bind it, the more I do that, the more energy I'm releasing, the more anxiety I'm releasing, the more overwhelming I'm becoming, because it is God's peace that surpasses. It's not my, oh, I got to take this. I got to bind this. That's not peace. And I always say, if you've got to go through your day constantly binding and loosing and binding and loosing, then what you're doing is you don't trust yourself and you don't trust God, and that's the truth. And you're worried, you're concerned that you're losing control. Control happens. Good positive control happens when you are at peace, folks. Okay, so when people start getting all anxious, anxiety with me, and I'm a warfare person, and I'm like, huh? So how's that working for you, right? And then we can break down everything in their life of what's going on, and it's like clockwork. I see it every time, and they're like, oh my God, you're so prophetic. I'm like, I'm actually not that. I mean, I'm very prophetic. Don't get me wrong. I can hear from God, but this is not me being prophetic. This is just common sense of psychology. To really understand that the scripturally, that it is God's peace that keeps us whole. It is God's peace that actually is our shield. It is not your anxiety of feeling like everything is Satan. And the moment you get into that, you're just inviting more of that into your life. Law of attraction is guaranteeing you that. So I want more peace. I'm going to move into peace. I want more guarantee of life. So I need to move into more of a guarantee that today's already taken care of. I need to move more into a guarantee that, guess what? I've got what it takes today to make today happen, because I've got His life in me that He's died to give me. So you know what? I'm going to learn to lean on that. And all of a sudden, life truly begins to change. That's how you take care of your day, folks. That's how you move out of anxiety and stress. That's how you trust God and you stay in your peace through anxiety and stress and fear. Let all that be given to people that really don't understand. God says, your greatest strength is my peace. It overrides your understanding of what you do and don't know. It keeps you whole. It keeps you strong. It keeps you sane. It keeps you thinking level-headed. It keeps you thinking with wisdom. I mean, come on, folks. You know what I'm saying? It's true. It keeps you in the moment, and it keeps you awakened to what's happening before you, right? That's what peace does. Because I can't focus if I'm not whole. And if I'm not whole, that means I don't have peace. So I'm not going to be able to focus, right? So I can shout all day long, I demand in Jesus' name, I have the clarity of mind in Jesus' name. And the whole time my body's like, ooh, I feel that stress, I feel that anxiety. Keep it up. As opposed to saying, whew, I'm at peace today. I'm going to really enjoy today. And there's a situation in front of me, but you know, I've got what it takes to handle this. And God's going to fight my battle. All I need is God's divine wisdom through the mind of Christ to handle the situation. I've got this. This is going to be easy breezy. I can do this. And guess what? You keep yourself intact. Remember this, folks. You will lose yourself. A person who's screaming and fighting, they're not in peace. They're not in peace at all, folks, right? That's a key thing. His voice came behind all the glitz and the glamour and the drama, like Elijah with the storm and the earthquake and the fire. It was a still, small voice. If you want to be in peace, then you move in still, small voice throughout the day. You be that small voice. Still, small. Be still and know that I am God. In my stillness is when I know God. In my stillness is when I have peace. So So all your warfare, taking up your sword, wielding it in the wind as if you're making any difference at all, you know, it's not really doing anything whatsoever because, you know, that's not what we do. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, which comes from the word principles, which is a biblical Greek word dealing with thoughts. That's what I got to cast down. And if I can just cast those down, how do I cast them down? I don't have to say, I command you what I have to do. Because think about it, Paul never did that. There's not one disciple in the entire New Testament that says, I command my thoughts to come down. I command you, Satan. In fact, you don't even hear any apostles say that. They just go, they're so tough and rough, they go through life and take on what's going on and tell them, do what God tells them to do. And just, okay, let's do it. We praise God in the jail cell. We don't, I command Satan right now. No, you're in the jail cell, we start praising God. We're so quick to bind and loose and throw and, you know, and swords and yield swords when Paul and Silas was just like, I got a better idea for you guys. Why don't you just praise God? If you just praise God, then God will open up the prison doors. God will cause you to be able to begin to speak to the jailer. So see, some of these things in prophetic move, folks, are literally so opposite from the kingdom of God. It's not even funny. It's so opposite from the things that we're taught to do. And we've got to begin to pay attention and awaken to truth. It all sounds great and wonderful and I'm in for the fight. But it's not what Jesus told us to do. If you want peace, do what you're told to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. All right? Know that today, folks. All right. I've taken so much of your time up today. I hope this has blessed you guys. Don't forget as we close today, if you don't like your day, change your thoughts. Remember we talked about thoughts? Change your thoughts or change your life. Don't forget today, by the way, before we close, tonight, which is Wednesday, folks, the 27th at 6 p.m. Central Time. Join with me on Instagram and on I think Facebook, where I'm going to do 1 hour of solid prophesying. So be on there. Tell your friends, family, your foes, everybody, and I'll see you tonight. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.